HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I am joined by Caroline Kennedy. Caroline is head of careers at NCI Ireland, is a master's, has a master's in psychology and a postgraduate diploma in careers and education. Caroline, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Great. Thank you very much, Declan. Delighted to talk to you.
Brilliant. I know you do a lot of great work down in NCI around career development. We were just briefly chatting, obviously, beforehand. I've dealt with you previously in Telefonica or in O2, as most people know it. First things first, how's COVID treating you guys down in NCI? How's that all working in terms of operating for yourself and the college? And what does it look like?
Yes, sure. It was a complete change the way it was for everybody. But now it just seems, I suppose, we're completely used to it now and we've adapted and everything is online. So there's been no students at all back in the college since March. Unlike other colleges, there's been nothing online, nothing in person. Everything's online. And look, it's going well. I suppose we're used to the systems now. We've got 200 students at the moment doing an Excel class online. As part of a careers module, we're doing different networking events online. So you're just trying to adapt to make it fit the situation, but still have the impact that you would have had in person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And have the students. I feel sorry for the, just looking back at my own college, I feel sorry for the ones who are maybe just going into first year or second year. And, you know, it's, you know, part of that is that sort of social element to it. For some of us more than others.
Yeah, it is awful for them because sure, that's the whole fun of college is getting to know your classmates and going out on the different Freshers Week events and all the rest of it, and all that's gone for them. So look, we've done our best to bring things online, but sure, you can't replicate that on campus experience, really, to be honest.
Absolutely, and hopefully the end is in sight. Caroline, do you want to explain what you do day to day, and we'll move away from COVID talk. What's your role in NCI and what do you do?
So my role, I've been at NCI now 17 years, and my role is we have a department of 10 people within the careers function. And so each advisor has their own caseload of students, I suppose. So I'm the careers manager, and then we have people ideal primarily with accounting and HR students. Somebody else would deal with data analytics students, somebody else with cyber students. And then we'd have people who would deal with work placement. So it's fairly segregated. So is that everybody is a specialist in their area. And I think that's something that we've really tried to offer both employers and students is that, you know, when they come to their careers advisor, they're really dealing with somebody who's a specialist in the area that they're dealing with. So there's 10 of us all together. We've about 5,600 students in NCI. And between the 10 of us, we do all of the students, primarily focusing, to be honest, on the full-time students and the Springboard students. And then we also work with some local Northeast inner city schools as well in getting them work placements. So it's great.
Fantastic. So you guys obviously will work with a given student and you'll try obviously enhance their career opportunities, shall we say. Yeah. So I know there's an element where you try to get them placements or indeed full-time roles with employees. So let's talk about that part of it. But also is there something you guys do in turn? You mentioned to me, or you mentioned just there around, you know, people doing Excel courses and stuff. So do you work with them in terms of skills while they're in the college that help them in the workplace?
We do. So we try to do everything. I suppose we have a few different models depending on the students we're dealing with. So at the moment, I have 300 second year students that I'm working with, and they're doing a 12-week module. So in that module, they'll do 2 weeks of Excel, just learning pivot tables, VLOOKUPs, all of that. But they'll also do then the more, I suppose, general career stuff, such as career planning, interviewing. Last week, they did a mock assessment centre. In about a month, all 300 of them will do a mock interview with an employer. We've got a networking event. So we try to, that stuff that's integrated into the curriculum and is credit bearing is by far the most impactful. And we're really lucky to have that in all the business courses. And then I suppose then for the School of Computing students, they all have to do a placement. And so there is an element of embedded careers work there as well. And then with the master's students, it's a kind of an add-on career service. So we offer events. It's not mandatory that they come, but you know, our penetration rates amongst students would be very strong. And like, we measure everything that we do. So we measure the impact that we have on each class so we can track whether what we're doing is impactful.
Oh, that's interesting. So what sort of KPIs do you look at?
So, I mean, we look at the normal stuff, like how many appointments, like last year, I think, did we do maybe 1,800 appointments, something like that, how many CV reviews, all, how many classes, all of that. But then we look at the impact that that had. So say, for example, overall, we were able to say last year that 30% of students got a job that we advertised. And I think it was about 21% got a job with a company that came on campus. So we try really to see, look, the companies that are coming on campus, are they companies that want to recruit our students? You know, are we providing them, say, in the School of Business, what we try to do is have no presentation events, to have everything interactive. And obviously, you know, that was a bit of a challenge with COVID. But I think we're trying to come around to it, and we're looking at different platforms and that let us do the virtual networking events that we do. So yeah, they're the kind, and then I suppose we measure things like employment, the percentage of students in employment, but then also the percentage of students that are in graduate level employment, you know, that they needed their degree to get a job, the percentage of students with a disability that got a job, the percentage of students on a SUSE grant that got a job. So we try to drill down into everything, and then the quality of that job as well, and then whether or not we were involved in them getting a job.
The quality, how do you measure that in terms of
the
quality?
So I suppose we would look at the rate of students in graduate level employment, so jobs that needed a degree to do them.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Very good. Is there any trends emerging? So pre and post COVID, there we go, we're back into COVID already. What's it looked before and after in terms of employability, what you guys are experiencing? I presume, but I'm only presuming, it's got more difficult. Is that the case, or any observations on it?
Yeah, it is. It is more difficult. There's no, like, I suppose the students who graduated in November 2019 were graduating into full employment. But then, so we, and every other career service in the country, we measure them 6 months after graduation. So we all measure them about May time to see where they are. And whereas traditionally our unemployment rate would be 2% overall, and that's something we work really hard on. This year, our unemployment rate for undergraduates was 2%, but overall it was 9%. And I suppose most of that was down to the impact of COVID on the economy. Now, I still think, you know, that compared to national unemployment rate of 22%, so it was a good performance. And the HEA actually cancelled the outcome survey, so we can't see how we, I suppose, compared to other colleges. But probably 9% is overall is a good outcome, but certainly nothing like, you know, a very different outcome to what we would have had previous years.
And just to be clear, that's at what point in time is that measured, after they've left?
So we do our survey in June. So it's a point in time. So it's where the graduates were on the 1st of June, 2020.
Wow, geez, I mean, 2% is incredible.
Right,
I would have said 9% is still very good, but 2% is exceptional. You've mentioned what other colleges are doing there at least twice. Is it a competitive environment?
No, it's not. I mean, we always measure ourselves, but actually, do you know, it's the most collaborative environment, because I came from a recruitment background, which obviously isn't a bit collaborative. You know, it is quite competitive, but no, you know, we're all in a network called the Association of Higher Education Career Services. It's so supportive, and you know, about once every 2 weeks we come together and somebody will do a lunch and learn session where we share best practice, give ideas maybe on things we're doing, things that worked with employers, things that worked with students. So no, certainly we'd measure ourselves against each other, but in a supportive way, I'd say.
Okay, well sidestepped on the recruitment industry collaboration. No, I'm joking. As someone who's worked in recruitment for a long time, what's happening? Obviously, you mentioned that most of your function is done by function, so HR, IT, whatever it might be. What's hot and what's gone cold, or is there a clear differentiation there within different sectors from what you guys are experiencing?
Look, they're all performing well. I suppose it's harder, we're lucky because all of our courses are quite vocational, you know, in that cybersecurity, cloud computing, HR, accounting. A lot of those students know what they want to get into before they, you know, before they start. I suppose the ones who find it maybe a little bit more difficult are the more generic ones like business, because there's so many options that sometimes you just don't know where to look. So I suppose they can find it a bit more challenging. And then maybe as well, the psychology students, again, because to become a psychologist, it takes so many years, I suppose, to build up the experience, maybe to get into the master's that you want to do, that they can be a bit of a slower burn. So they're probably the ones that take a bit more work in terms of deciding what they want to do. Whereas like we'd find the accountancy students, oh, I think 90% of those went into trainee accounting jobs. You know, they're fairly focused. And again, HR, most of those would go into HR roles. Whereas business, they go across a wide variety of things.
The more general skills, so you mentioned Excel, and I won't keep harping on about that. What do you find most organizations are looking for in terms of that sort of basic skill set? So yeah, if you remove the HR lens or the accounting one or whatever, what do you think, has that evolved at all in the last 17 years? I'm guessing it has.
Has. I mean, what we actually, all of the careers people came together in June and we surveyed employers to see what they were looking for. So I suppose their number one thing in terms of hard skills that they said they wanted was analytical thinking. But then it was things like work ethic. That was, you know, number two, positive attitude and energy, ability to cope with pressure, collaborative, team working. So I suppose the stuff that you always hear is still in demand. And I suppose from employers, in terms of feedback generically about graduates, often what they would say is hard skills like Excel and maybe attention to detail and just learning how to write professionally are things that, you know, when IBEC do the reports and that, they tend to be the things that are brought up. And that's why I suppose we've put on the Excel course. But I think, yeah, work ethic, positive attitude, flexibility, resilience, and open to new ideas and new ways of thinking, they're kind of the constant ones that we hear from employers all the time.
And do you feel companies are doing an adequate job of actually being able to assess some of those things? I mean, some of the things you mentioned there, it is difficult, especially in an interview yeah. process to assess maybe someone's work ethic, you know, what they say and what they do could be very different. Likewise, resilience could be, yeah. could be, you know, a difficult one to assess. How do you feel organizations are doing, or what are they doing to assess those things that they claim they want?
I suppose it's hard, isn't it? Because often at the end of an interview, you only know who did a good interview. So I suppose what we're seeing now that everything has gone online is that it's Zoom interviews. There is still assessment centers, but then I suppose work ethic, you can look at it. If I look at my own students, like most of our students would be known for their work ethic, and most of them work about 25 hours a week while they're studying full time. So I think sometimes, you know, through your CV and the different things you've been involved with, you can demonstrate those skills. And similarly with resilience, you know, I was sending CVs to a company there today and I was looking at some of the students, and you know, when they're involved in sports and they've moved their ways up through the ranks from the B team to the A team, back down and back up again, do you know, I suppose all of those things can show resilience as well. So there is ways of a student demonstrating that they have it. And certainly for me, something I always think is amazing is how hardworking they are. Because definitely, you know, when I look at my guys and I think about the snowflake generation that the people talk about, that probably isn't reflected in the cohort that I deal with, because oh God, I'd say 95% of them are working 20, 25 hours a week while studying full time. And I suppose that then would demonstrate the work ethic.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a big fan of those generalizations myself. I do understand sometimes when they're used, but it can be sometimes a lazy shortcut to you know, label a particular cohort. You mentioned as well there, sorry, that most things have moved online makes complete and utter sense. Just compare what you guys were doing then previously and post-COVID in terms of how organizations were interacting with you. I know I've been down on site with you guys doing interviews and doing trade shows and et cetera, et cetera. So have you just effectively digitized all of that, or is there anything new and intuitive?
Yeah, we have. We've tried. So I suppose the biggest thing I'm working on now, which is a complete leap from anything we've done. So I suppose all summer we ran webinars where employers and past students and all of that would come on, and we do group events, and students would type their questions in the chat, and that was lovely. But it's hard to replicate that networking experience. And I suppose most jobs are found through networking. So usually every March, I'd have all the second years in the atrium, and we'd have, you know, 200 second years and maybe 20 companies. And the companies would each meet the students in groups of 10 for 10 minutes each. And that really is really impactful for the students. So now we're trying to move that online. So we have most of the companies that we need. And now we found a platform that we think will, I suppose, replicate that experience, and it'll allow the employers just double click to move from table to table. And it kind of feels and looks like you're at a conference event. So there are things, I suppose, that we've tried to replicate. And actually, I suppose we've 300 students this year, and I wouldn't be able to fit 300 in the atrium. So actually doing it online, maybe we'll end up doing it online all the time now. So some things are easier to manage in that environment. And I suppose then again, last week we had an assessment centre, and I think we had about 250 students do it. And again, that would have been really difficult to run, trying to get the rooms booked in NCI, because NCI is so over, you know, we're really full to capacity. So probably that's something that we'll always run online as well. Yeah. And I suppose then something we started 2 weeks ago, actually, was alumni mentoring, which is something we've been talking about for ages, done about 6 years ago. And then we just got so busy, we didn't have time to implement it. But we really thought this year, you know, the students need it. So we had a great response from mentors. And again, that's something I think that will bring, it's not in person, it is virtual, but still those connections are there. And sure, that's invaluable. So I suppose we're always trying to think of new, different ways to do it.
Yeah, I think people sometimes lose sight of the fact that lots and lots of very, very good jobs never get advertised, because there's a networking connection, there's an alumni mentor in that situation. Yeah. So having those personal relationships with people is just so, so important. How are you running the alumni mentoring?
Well, at the moment now, we're running it off an Excel spreadsheet. So, and then it will just be, so the idea is that they'll meet three times. We did it before, and we did it for 6 months, and we just thought, you know, it's a big commitment from both the student and the mentor. So we've shortened it to three meetings, and it will be done over Zoom or Teams, and they've all had one meeting, and the feedback's really good, actually. So
brilliant.
Yeah, I'm dying to see what comes out of it at the end.
Yeah, that one sounds very interesting, I have to say. Hopefully you'll get some great results. It sounds very promising. And when we started off, or as we talked there, I sort of was, you know, what are companies looking for in terms of skill set, et cetera, et cetera. There's every chance we will go back. Well, hopefully we will go back to a scenario where there's relatively full employment, where most people who have a job have a job, which changes the basis of power somewhat. So what are the students looking for at the moment in your experience? What are they looking for from companies?
I suppose most of my students now, when they come to me, they want, I often think it's different to what I read in the media, because actually our students like stability and they like permanent jobs. Whereas I know when you see in the media, they talk about students and graduates and their interest in Generation Z and how they like hopping around. Whereas actually our students are generally speaking quite interested in, I suppose, some stability straight out of college rather than hopping from contract to contract. Things like values and, you know, what do the company stand for and the culture of the company, and I suppose a commitment to developing them, not passively developing them, but the students being able to develop within them, I think is something that's always really important to them as well.
That is very interesting, Caroline, if you don't mind me saying that what's being reported is not what you're seeing on the ground. I think, again, back to our point there about, you know, people being labeled as this, that, or the other, snowflakes or Jen, this, that, or the other, it's that's the danger of it right there, that the
it could depend on the cohort. I suppose the students I'm dealing with, like students in NCI, they'd be known as being hardworking. They'd be known as, about 50% of them would be first generation college students. So maybe they don't have a massive college fund behind them or parents who can support them as they kind of flip from contract to contract. So stability then is important.
Yeah.
So I suppose it could be very practical reasons that it's important for them as well, and that, you know, maybe they're moving out of home, they're getting their first apartment or something like that, and they don't have a backup if they're out of work for a month, so they need something fairly stable.
So how can companies distinguish themselves then?
Well, I think what students, you know, the jobs that you get loads of applications for, I suppose, are when companies come in, they see the human side of them. And actually, that's something that COVID has been great for, because it's easier to get companies on campus, to lots of campuses, than it was before. Do you know, if companies were doing an event in Limerick and then we needed them the same day, it was impossible. Whereas now, actually, students can have access, you know, companies can access more colleges, more campuses, which is great. So I think they love to see the human face of the company. And then they do love to see that they'll have opportunities for responsibility, opportunities to continue developing themselves. And I suppose that the culture is one that's, I suppose, inclusive is something they're always asking as well. You know, how diverse is the culture? How inclusive is the culture? Whenever a company comes on campus, that question always appears in the chat.
Excellent. Okay, so look, I know you, as part of your role, are obviously always interested in hearing from other organisations who perhaps would have openings for your own students. How can people get in contact with you? What does that relationship look like if someone does have opportunities they think your guys might be interested in?
Yeah, so I suppose there's loads of different things that we work with companies on. So one would be, we've got School of Business students interested in 8-month work placements from, or 8 to 12 month work placements from June to September. We have IT students who have just gone out on 6-month work placements. Then we've cybersecurity students who will be looking for 3-month work placements from May and also again in September. But then we're always interested in employers to come in, and either we do a tech talk series of events where employers come in, not who are recruiting, but just to give students, I suppose, general commercial awareness on, you know, what's going on in the data analytics industry, what's going on in the cybersecurity industry, that, you know, the challenges in the SME sector for tech companies, all of that. Then we love when students come in and do mock interviews with our students, mock assessment centres with the students. You know, we have really good relationships with companies who are great at coming in and maybe spending 15 minutes with the students doing mock interview and then giving them feedback. And then the networking events as well, that's priceless for us. In terms of just exposing students and providing students with access to a professional network. And I suppose we work with companies in different ways. Sometimes companies like students to send in their CVs direct, other companies like us to manage the whole process, like a, I suppose, a mini recruitment agency.
Yeah.
And look, we work well in both situations. So for probably a 50-50 split, you know, but an awful lot of the companies, we'd, you know, I suppose, send the CVs, organise the interviews like a little agency, and that works quite well for us as well.
Very good. Do you think most companies are playing a long game here, or is it quite short-sighted? So some of the stuff you talked about there, you know, mock interviews, assessment centres, networking events, tech talks, et cetera, et cetera. Are you finding most of the companies you're dealing with in it for the long haul, if you know what I mean? Because, I mean, you're building relationships there. You're building your brand almost on your campus with those things. Yeah. It's not a I need this person now scenario if you're going in to do a tech talk, et cetera. Do you find that the companies who build longer term relationships in these areas succeed more in recruiting good people?
Yeah, they do. Do you know, there are some companies we'd work with all the time and they're just so good at giving back. But then that comes back to roost as well, I suppose, because the students, they've built a brand on campus. The students are used to hearing their name. They're living their values in terms of inclusivity and giving back and development and all of that. So look, there's no doubt. And I suppose we don't monetize access to the students. So we don't charge employers to get involved with any of our student events. And I suppose as a result, then we have good relationships. But absolutely, like the employers that are coming in to do the networking event with second years, a lot of those won't be recruiting until the following year for graduates. But they're coming in, so students are aware of their brand when it comes to third year.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us today. Really, really appreciate it. It's great to get the insights. If there is anyone listening to this who, you know, maybe has an interest in getting in contact and exploring some of those opportunities we discussed in terms of recruiting from NCI, what's the best way to get in contact?
So I suppose if you email me, maybe in the first instance, that would be amazing. caroline.kennedy@ncirl.ie.
Brilliant. And we'll link all of that below the podcast. Caroline, thanks a million.
Great. Thanks, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.